Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Congratulations to Tad Boyle and the Buffs as they followed up the success of CSU in the play-in game, the first four in Dayton, by beating Boise State last night in a low-scoring, hard-fought game. However you choose to look at it, like we did the CSU-Virginia game, was it really bad offense or, as Tad Boyle would like to think of it, really good defense?
We got five straight stops in a row. Our defense just kind of cranked up a notch. And obviously we went with a really shortened rotation in the second half. That's just kind of where we're at right now. But these guys did what they had to do down the stretch and beat a tough, hard-nosed team.
Yeah, he went deep with his starters, everybody playing over 30 minutes. Cody Williams, some people think could be the number one pick in the draft. Eesh, I just don't see it. His freshman season's been, I think, underperforming, underwhelming. Not all his fault. He missed a lot of time with injuries, a sprained ankle as of late, but still, you watched him last night. He looked lost. Lost. So they rode the starters. They got it done. And now they move on to the first round. It's so weird. They advance to the first round.
Right.
So CSU, or CU will be taking on Florida tomorrow. So congratulations to the Buffs. They survive and advance.
Do they have to travel to Indy?
They go to Indy.
They go to Indy.
They don't have to go too far.
Did CSU have to go there too?
CSU, no. CSU is in Charlotte today. I mean, in fact, let's talk about that.
Second down.
So yeah, quick turnaround for CSU as they won on Tuesday and then quickly made their way down to Charlotte. And they'll play Texas today at 4:50 our time on TNT. I thought you brought up a great point that this is one of those things where you almost save yourself from thinking too much.
Yeah.
Or preparing too much. It's just, hey, guys, go out and do what we've been doing all year. Be right. You. Be us.
Go out, execute what we do. It's not about what they do. It's about what we do. So impose our will on that team. And just make sure that you stay away from Dave Tepper because he'll throw a beer on you.
Yeah, if he goes to the game.
Well, he's probably at the game putting scouting reports together for the other coaches. You know, this ball player needs to bend his knees more. I didn't like his explosive, you know.
He's not only a football expert, he's a basketball expert.
Oh, he's an everything expert. Yeah. I mean, he's Dave Tepper. He knows everything.
He knows everything. Just ask him. He's a billionaire.
Right, that's right.
Just because you're a billionaire in something else makes you an expert in
everything.
In that. Yeah, sure.
In everything.
Well, good luck to the Rams today. I think this is a good matchup. Texas, yeah, sure. Texas is a big-time program and all that. But
what time's that at, 4:50?
4:50. Texas was just kind of this year. They were kind of a middling team in the Big 12.
Quick question for you. If you had to put money on who goes the furthest,
ooh,
would you go CU or CSU? I, for one, would go Rammies.
Why?
I just like the way they played. I like the ball movement they had the other night. I just like they feel a little bit more connected. And I know some of that was Boise State and a little bit better opponent. But I just feel like they were better.
Okay.
Eyeball test. How about you?
I like CU. There's a lot of talent.
Homer.
They're both homers. I'm a homer to both of them. There's no one over the other. I'm rooting for both of them. I'm not a CSU guy. I'm not a CU guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have no ties to either university, so I root for both of them.
Okay.
So I hope they meet in the finals. Can they meet in the finals? Actually, I haven't projected that far ahead with them. I don't know if there are any brackets.
Maybe in fantasy land they can meet in the finals.
I don't know. We should check out if, by the way, if you have not yet signed up, what are you waiting for?
What are you doing?
You do not want to miss out on being part of what everyone's going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks. Their brackets and March Madness. So we want to give you a chance to win $5,000. For free. All you have to do is go to denversports.com/hoops to sign up for our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. You simply pick all the games in the tournament right through to the championship game. Doesn't cost you anything. Free to play, but you could end up winning $5,000. So do not miss out. Get there before the first game this morning, which comes up at about 10 a.m. So denversports.com/hoops.
Third down.
Right, I'll try this one again. The Broncos introduced their newest swing offensive tackle.
Swing! All right.
I didn't see that one coming.
Swing!
Yes, their new swing tackle.
From now on, let's just make
Exactly.
Can we do
why is this the first time I've heard this, by the way?
I don't know.
Because we've talked about swing tackles forever.
Right, we need to get that swing. We need to get that. And every time we talk about Matt
Peart.
Peart. We throw the swing in there.
Well, anyway, Matt Peart talking to DenverBroncos.com on why and what he brings to the Broncos.
Honestly, it's just you know, me personally is looking for a fresh start and, you know, never, you know, provide the opportunity for me. And, you know, like I said, nothing but great. You know, it's a great organization, great history here. So just being a part of that, a great culture, great atmosphere. So, yeah, definitely had to tap in.
There it is.
That was on
swing tackle. I love that. Yeah. Why have it? Because over the years, we've talked about Calvin Anderson as the swing tackle.
Yeah.
Well, last year it was Cam Fleming was this. Why is this the first?
I don't know.
I blame you. Child's mind.
Right. It just popped into my head.
I know.
So was that? That was on.
It was at DenverBroncos.com.
Are you sure it wasn't on DenverSports.com exclusively?
No, that was at DenverBroncos.com.
Okay, I was just wondering.
Nice job over there.
It was an exclusive.
Thank you, DenverBroncos.com, for introducing us to Matt Peart, their new swing tackle.
Swing.
1, 2, 3. Fourth down.
Got to be careful not to abuse that. That's it's like a new toy. So, and swing. The Nuggets and Knicks tonight at Ball Arena as the Nuggets back home after a 3-1 road trip, taking on a Knicks team that will be shorthanded without OG Anunoby, who has been a nice pickup for them, re-aggravated an elbow injury, so he is not going to be available tonight. They're already without Julius Randle, so a little shorthanded for the Knicks, but that's a tough-minded team. That's a blue-collar, put-on-their-hard-hat type team.
Yeah.
And so the Nuggets will have to be ready for that. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. Up next, buckle up, because the Deion Show was back for a second season. the premiere of the Deion Show. You'll hear it next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house. Even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless plan, auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Now they always say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how.
We're talking about the new Broncos swing tackle, Matt Peart.
Swing!
So we had a little fun with the whole swing thing, right?
Yeah.
And we seriously got one of these. Like, who do you think we are? Texter says, you guys realize that swing came from Wayne's World, right?
No.
No, really?
Really?
Yeah.
what?
Some of the people.
Come on, man.
Some of you rusties.
Seriously. Come on, you're like, really?
No.
Really? Is that what? I thought we had just made something up right there. Oh, darn.
The rusties.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Who are
you? Oh, right.
Now we're onto something with that whole swing thing.
Yeah.
Turns out it's been used before.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. What do you think we came up with, the Rusty's Cliffs of Insanity? Do we have that, by the way, the Cliffs of Insanity?
I like that.
Where he is, he's too late. See? The Cliffs of Insanity!
The Cliffs of Insanity!
That's the new feature on Mark's I Told You So Island.
Mm-hmm.
We just continue to discover.
The Rusty's Cliffs of Insanity. That is great.
One more on the text line. Hey, guys, you think Carmelo Anthony comes to the game tonight? Watch his Knicks against the Nuggets?
He's not here, is he?
No, no, no. he would come to watch his Knicks host the Nuggets.
He's not coming here until Jokic, the Joker, changes his number.
Oh, no, no, no. Melo would never come here and be in the same and risk the potential of being in the same building with Jokic. No way. And have just be overlooked, overwhelmed, shrink in Jokic's presence. No, 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 no. He will never, ever do that. Deion Sanders. You know, one thing we said last year about Deion was no matter what the record is, anytime Deion holds a press conference, it's must listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's been laying low here locally. He's been out doing the national tour for his book tour. But yesterday, with the startup of spring practice, he did his first press conference, and wow, he did not disappoint. So started out wondering why a guy who is one of the most, outspoken people pay attention to almost everything he says, guys out there in sports,
mm-hmm.
wonders why people make a big deal about what he says.
Why is that? When I say what everybody's thinking, why is it a problem? What's like problem? I said some things about the offensive line last year. I wasn't derogatory to him. I just said saying that everybody was thinking watching the game. Why is it a problem? I'm just asking everybody. Why is it a problem when I say what you're thinking?
Well, you say it louder than anybody. You say it more boisterously than anybody. You say it more colorfully than anybody.
No, you just say it honestly.
He was just warming up. Some of the benefits of having NFL experience, counting him like 9 coaches on the staff with NFL experience.
These kids today, man, it's not how we grew up. My parents said, because I said so, and you took it. Why? Prove it to me. Show me. Like, it's the show me type of young generation, and prove it to me generation. Let me see your credentials type of generation. So when you compose a staff that pretty much embodies the NFL and where they're directed to, that is phenomenal.
Do you think, if you had to pick, does he have all these NFL tied coaches, guys with NFL ties on his staff because he's just, that's what he's comfortable with from his own football background? Or is this just part of the grand design Deion plan of how to attract players? You want to get to the league? Mm-hmm. You have the dream of going to the next level? Here's how I'm going to help you. Look at the coaches that we got in place for you.
Sure. I think it's a mixture of both. I think there are, you know, there are guys who have done it, who know what it takes to be at the top, to stay in at the top. And ultimately, I think it's a huge recruiting tool. And, you know, I was the first guy for my offensive line coach at the University of Idaho. A guy by the name of Dan Cazzetto went on to have a great career. He's all over the place. You know, coached all over the place, had put a lot of guys in the pros, but I was the first guy he put into the pros. And so I used to spend time in the off season with him all the time, going to programs and, you know, going to whatever program he was coaching at and working with the kids and stuff. And part of that was, you know, part of my thought process for those kids was, listen, man, he's a jerk and he's hard and he's on you and he's, you know, but he does understand what it takes, you know, what you have to do to play at the next level. And again, I look at him, Danny Cazzetto, he's a dear friend of mine, but I look at him like I looked at my offensive line coaches in the NFL. And let me just give you a list, because they all should be in the Offensive Line Coaching Hall of Fame. Joe Bugle, Jim Hanifin, and Alex Gibbs. Those are my three.
That's as good as you get right there.
Those are as good as it gets. And Danny Cazzetto was right on par with those guys the way I got coached in college.
Speaking of recruiting, Deion raised some eyebrows yesterday when he said, because, you know, you think about recruiting, right? It's you go out and recruit kids, you get into the living room, you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The idea that, you know, this guy's good in the room, this guy's a good closer, right?
Right.
How do you say no to Nick Saban when he's in your living room? Deion has no interest in visiting kids.
The parents, I love them, and I want to show them Boulder. I want them to see this and how beautiful it is and why I'm so eager and how much I love this city and this state and this team. I want them to see that because guess what? That's where the kid is coming. Kid coming here. Going there is just showcase for me. That's just blowing money. Just blowing a bag. Don't make sense. And I can't do the things other coaches can do. You know what? I'm Coach Prime.
Man. And anybody else, you'd be like, who is this? Richard Nine, but
I got to start talking about myself in the third person.
You couldn't do it.
You know why? You know why? Because I'm Steve. It just doesn't.
I'm hard, dog.
Anybody else would be like, I roll with him. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're Coach Prime. Not everybody buys the hype on the Ramoslaw.com text line.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, your guy Dion is a know-nothing blowhard. Another one. Is losing 8 out of 9 games rock steady? Nope. It's a season of results this year.
Sure.
And he hasn't shied away from that.
Mm-hmm.
He has freely admitted that last year was about making that first impression, creating hype and expectation, hype and enthusiasm. This year is about the expectations.
Right.
And I've said it. 4-8 last year, to me, the floor is flipped. 8-4. 8 wins is the floor. You want to have a satisfactory, acceptable season, you go 8-4. Minimum, bare minimum. But really, I'm expecting more.
Yeah, he's got
to hold him to it.
Yeah, you got to produce. There's no question. You've got to produce, and you've got to be in this thing.
More from Dion a little bit later on in the show, including where he thinks Shador Sanders would be drafted if he was in this quarterback draft class. That's coming up right after What's Trending next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Mentioning that Deion Sanders was in, pardon the pun, he was in prime form yesterday at his press conference kicking off spring football up there at CU. Season number 2 for Deion and the Buffs, and he's ready for the big expectations.
Everybody's not built for the moment. You got to understand that. Like, and shoot, we took the moment to the greatest heights. Like, it was like, shoot, and we plan on doing that again. But everybody's not built for that stage. That stage comes with tremendous responsibility. And you got to get young men that are used to that and committed to that and want it and relish that opportunity to be on that stage.
When you watch and listen to that entire press conference yesterday, that's why I say 8-4, a flip of last year, 4-8. Mm-hmm. That's why 8-4 is the floor, the baseline
right.
of what's acceptable next year. Because you can't talk like that. I love the way he talks like right. that. And I love the bravado and I love painting that bullseye on their back. But man, you gotta go out and you gotta back that up. And 8-4 is the minimum of backing.
Here's the other thing that I really believe, and this is gonna be the difficult part, I think, for CU. Is when things don't go well, you can't abandon ship like you did last year.
Who abandoned ship?
Deion and the program. Tim Lewis, no, you're not, we don't want to do this anymore. And who's their D coordinator? We don't want to do this anymore. Like, you better, and this is just me personally, my opinion, you better develop an identity. You better know what you are. And when things go tough, and they will go tough, it will get hard, you can't just abandon ship and say, okay, we're going to do something else now. You know, we're going to demote this guy, and he's not going to call plays anymore, and this guy's going to call him now. And we're going to change. No, you can't. The other thing is, you got to take some pressure off your son. You've got to. It's one thing to say, hey, we want to run the ball. It's another thing to run the ball. And that takes a commitment to that skill that most people and most coaches don't have the balls to give.
This Shohei Ohtani controversy is one that's going to bear watching. So if you're not familiar with the story, the new Dodgers superstar fired his longtime friend and interpreter for Ohtani. These two go back well over a decade. And he was fired after questions surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation offshore. And so the initial answer or the initial response was that Ohtani was covering his friend, his gambling debts. Well, then it was like, no, he wasn't doing that. His friend and interpreter stole the money from Ohtani.
Yeah.
Something's fishy here, Mark. And immediately people are rightfully wondering, was this Ohtani gambling?
Yeah, there's
to the point where his friend and interpreter is taking the fall, because otherwise Major League Baseball has a major, major, major scandal on their hands. Remember, they banned Pete Rose from baseball and have continued to do so for gambling.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do with a guy who is arguably the new face of their sport?
Yeah, that is tough. It'll be interesting. There's all kinds of things on the internet now. Like, no. I saw Ohtani and his bookie sitting down at lunch, and like, there's all kinds of reports, and you know, and I'm not. Those are not official, but these are just all the stuff that's starting to permeate on the internet right now. This is gonna get ugly.
Yep,
it really feels that way.
So at the start of March Madness, I don't know how far you have Long Beach going in your tournament, but boy, this is an easy team to root for. So Dan Monson, longtime coach, coached at Gonzaga before Gonzaga became Gonzaga, coached at Minnesota. Long Beach notified him before the start of their conference tournament that they were not going to renew his contract. So they fired him. Then he goes out and wins the conference tournament, and now he's in the NCAA tournament, and he's becoming one of the great stories of this tournament.
It's like you guys see the Seinfeld when George Costanza was trying to get fired and lose his job and still going to work every day, and that's me. I'm a Seinfeld episode going on right now in real life.
Oh, see, this is good. Long Beach is like, oh, why you got to do that? Why'd you come across so lovable, so rootable? We look like heels.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think it's cool. I think it's good for him. And they want to move on. That's all right. His contract was up. They're not going to renew it. Although, what, you really think they're going to?
Well, they're a 15 seed. They play Arizona. Hey,
Arizona. What's Arizona, a 2 seed?
Arizona's a 2 seed. Wasn't it just last year Arizona lost to, I think it was, did they lose to Princeton in the first round?
I think it was. I don't know.
I know you have. You don't even know who you have in the final, your own final four bracket.
I took Arizona deep last year because of my son's affiliation with Arizona, and they crapped in their hats.
Yep.
Drove me in their shorts, I guess. But I mean, for me, it's Short Beach. It's not Long Beach. Short Beach.
Short Beach.
Yeah, they're not going to be in there very long.
Well,
so Short Beach.
Probably. But if they beat Arizona, it might be 2-4-6-8. Let's renegotiate.
I don't.
Oh, well, he'll have job offers from somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Go out and beat Arizona. Did you see the Russell Wilson workout video?
Oh, my word, yes.
Folks, did you see it? What'd you think? He's back making his videos at his place in San Diego.
His palatial estate over in Del Mar. It's a beautiful area. Gosh, gorgeous.
You look good. You look fit. I just got the Mark Schlereth Russell Wilson.
He looked
eye roll.
Good.
There's nothing like the Mark Schlereth Russell Wilson inspired eye roll.
Let's do a bunch of stuff and put it on film. It doesn't really relate to what I have to do on Sunday.
And by the way, I know the Rusties aren't going to like this, and you're going to say, oh, you're just being mean. But Come on. You got a bunch of these young quarterbacks who are getting ready to come into the league who are doing their pro days. Caleb Williams had his pro day yesterday. Can you let them have their moment?
No, right? No. I know it's 100% planned. 100%. Let's try to take some of the shine. My Lord.
So, it's not tone deaf. It's actually part of the strategy.
Oh, yeah.
Drop it when they drop it.
Absolutely. You think you can work out in shorts? Watch me work out in shorts. By the way, how stupid are pro days?
Hold that thought.
How dumb are pro days?
I know you have some thoughts on
pro days. Lord have mercy.
That's coming up. Also, what does the film say as Gabe Mark, the theme of the week has been...
My wife is out of town and Mike goes, hey, I got three guys for you to study. What are you doing today? I was planning on lounging around in my underpants and reading a book.
I knew you didn't have anything to do. So I gave you three players to look at, non-quarterbacks that could be Broncos. What does the film say? Find out next.
The eye in the sky don't lie.
I don't like the technique that fat needs to get his feet moving better than that. That just makes me sick and want to throw up. And I promise you, when he came off that field, I ripped his
Time for Stink to use the exclusive game film only the Broncos coaches see to answer the big question. What does the film say?
If I had to go, I'd just go. I'd just pee my pants. I'd be standing in the huddle peeing.
Here's Schlereth and Evans to let Broncos country know. What does the film say?
So the theme of the week has been taking a look at real football players. Guys that if the Broncos choose not to take a quarterback at 12 and they choose to go just with a player... Some of the guys that have been mocked to them or mocked draft around them. So I had you take a look the other day at Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, who you loved.
Yeah.
Terrion Arnold, the corner from Alabama that you were...
I really liked
him. You really liked him. Okay. So today I gave you three more because your wife's out of town, so I figured, what else is he doing?
Right.
Jared Verse, the Florida State pass rusher. What did you see? What does the film say?
Yeah, there's a couple things I really like. One, he came from, I think, Albany, transferred to Florida State. So
Albany, New York?
I believe so.
Wow.
I don't know. There must be a university in Albany
there
or something.
The Danes.
The Danes. So he transferred from there, meaning he was not a high recruit early. You know, he's a late bloomer. But a couple things I always look for in any pass rusher. First off, the ball. How well do you explode out of your stance? Are you the first guy off the ball? Are you the first guy out of your stance? Which he consistently is. And he's got enough speed to turn a corner. So he uses that. Well, most guys don't have, like, pass rush moves. He's so fast. You know, he'll do a little swipe and get around the edge and stuff. But he uses his speed to set up his power. And his power was what jumped off the tape. I can't tell you how many times he just walked offensive tackles and dumped them on top of the quarterback from turning speed to power. And you know, again, most young pass rushers don't have a skill set. They just dominate doing one thing. Like, I'm just super powerful. If all you are is power, you're not going to run over guys. You've got to have something else that sets that power up. And he does that well off the edge. He's got some moves. He's got decent hands. He'll get better at that stuff. But his speed to power stuff was impressive. And he just dominated the edge of the line of scrimmage. So I was really impressed with some of the film that I watched on this game.
Okay, so far we're at 3 for 3 with Stink giving the endorsement to real football players that could be future Broncos. Had you take a look at a couple of offensive linemen?
Because
this is supposed to be a really deep draft. I think I've seen somewhere upwards of 9 offensive linemen could go in the first
round. Could set a record.
So, Talis Fuaga from Oregon State.
He played right tackle at Oregon State. Really, his movement skills are elite. Elite movement skills, elite second-level blocking skills. So beyond the line of scrimmage, when you pull or you get through the line of scrimmage and you're the guy that's chasing the linebacker, his ability to be athletic at the second level and block guys in space is really good. And he's got some nasty to him, which I really liked. He's a finisher. He's one of those dudes that will knock you down and then try to bury his helmet in your chin. And I think that's good. I like that. Hurt a few guys. Let them know you're there.
Shorten some necks.
Shorten a few necks.
Crack some jaws.
Check cash checks and shorten necks, baby. And so I liked him. I thought he had elite level movement skills. I thought he was really good in his sets. Athleticism wise, I thought he had great ability to redirect and counter. You know, so that is something you think about as an offense or a defensive lineman, your ability to counter. But when you have to jump a guy who's got big speed up the top and that guy tries to come back underneath, he's got the ability athleticism wise to get back under and stay locked in. So I really like that aspect about him.
And because I asked you to look at three players, I did allow it to be two offensive linemen. So another offensive lineman, Penn State's Olufashanu.
Oh.
I'm not even
probably. If you close. Like Olufashanu, he plays for Penn State. He wears big giant knee braces. I wouldn't want to date him. I'll tell you what he's got. I hated, you know, some of these college teams make them wear these two big giant knee braces. That's just the system. They're like, hey, we want to keep your knees fresh. I thought technically he was really good. Like from a technique standpoint, really good sets, inside out, you know, very much the same all the time. I thought his ability to redirect was scared me a little bit.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's his big, giant, clunky knee braces, but he was not athletic as the Oregon State kid. Didn't feel as athletic to me and didn't feel as nasty to me.
So then it sounds like you've given an endorsement to four guys that you would absolutely have no problem with the Broncos drafting, if you had to rank them.
Yeah. And now, listen, the kid from Penn State, the left tackle from Penn State, technically, like, he's one of those guys that technically is probably a really good player from the standpoint of he's not going to put himself in harm's way very often. So, like, toward the end of my career, when I lost athleticism, I still didn't get beat very often because technically I was always going to take a perfect set. I was always going to funnel you where I wanted you to go. I was always going to do the things that created success for me. So I thought from a technical standpoint, he's really good. It just makes me a little bit nervous because I don't think his ability to redirect and his athleticism was as high as the Oregon State kids.
So the point of this whole exercise this week was, because I've been hearing the promo that's been playing on our station, Josh Dover, saying that you take the gamble on the quarterback because whatever uncertainty you may have, the potential upside goes way beyond whatever you're going to get for sure from one of these football players. And that is, all due respect, as I get ready to blast Josh, that is the classic mistake that so many of these teams make, that, hey, we're not sure about this guy, and there's some things that we're not sure about, but, geez, the position's so important that we have to overlook that because of the potential payoff, and we're going to get potentially more payoff than we're going to get from just a regular football player. The reason why we did that this week is you've looked at all the quarterbacks. Now, having taken a look at these other football players, which direction do you hope the Broncos go in?
I would tell you that I hope, I really do hope they get themselves a just beast of a football player because so many guys get pushed down. And again, I don't hold the same, like I have not bought into the lie that most people buy into. Most of you driving around, I mean, I'm just telling you, you've been sold this bill of goods that's absolute garbage. That, oh, the value, and, you know, hey, you just take a flyer on any guy because the value of that position is so high. And what happens to your football team? There's a reason that the same teams, there's a reason that Arizona is always drafting in the top 10, 100% of the time. Because they've fallen victim, they've been duped in believing what you're preaching, which is garbage. So you're in a rebuilding mode. Why would you pass up? I'm just asking you a question. Why would you pass up an A-plus prospect to draft a B-minus quarterback?
Because of the importance of the position and the potential upside. That you're willing to overlook the things that you see on film or things that you get out of the interviews that give you pause.
Let me ask you this. Which quarterbacks win Super Bowl championships? Do B-minus quarterbacks?
Not usually. There's been a few, but not many, no.
Right. Historically, what wins?
A plus.
A plus.
Yeah. Studs.
So you're sitting at 12. Like, you think all of a sudden you're winning a championship because you got Bo Nix and you bypassed other holes? You've got the 31st best roster, according to ESPN, in football. And you think all of a sudden Bo Nix is going to elevate that team. Bo Nix going to carry that ball, carry that football team
not,
on.
That's not Bo Nix. Where's my Leggett guy? We need to get the Leggett. I need the Leggett guy back. Yeah.
Bo Nix going to carry this
that's
football.
That's not how he sounds.
Bo Nix.
We played you a guy yesterday from South Carolina that sounds just like you want Bo Nix to sound.
I know, but I mean, I'm... Anywho.
So, good job. I want you to pay off what you promised you wanted to talk about, the pro days.
Oh, yeah. Is that the dumbest thing?
Yesterday,
pro days.
Caleb Williams has pro day yesterday.
Are pro days the stupidest thing that we do? Like, is this because scouts and GMs couldn't play in the NFL and they're enamored by... Man, oh man, did you see Caleb Williams in shorts and a t-shirt with no pass rush throw a 70-yard dot? I got a dot for you. Let me bend over. I'll show you a dot.
Oh, jeez.
Lord have mercy.
I have no idea what that means, but I don't even want to know.
No, you know.
No, I don't know, so I don't want to know. No need for you to explain.
Oh, you know. I just, it's fascinating.
I know, it's funny.
It's fascinating to me. So in a planned program where you know the routes and the receivers and you're in shorts and a t-shirt and there's no pass rush or anything, you're just throwing on air. And I just can't even believe, like, the hype train that was, I just looked at it and go, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. It's like Russell Wilson's videos. How dumb are those?
Yeah. Because they're all against air.
Yeah.
They're in shorts. It's carefully scripted. You know going in exactly what throws you're going to be making, how many of them. And people lose their minds over them.
And people are like, he completed, you know, I don't know what the thing, 58 of 64 passes and 3 of them were drops, so he was almost perfect. My gosh.
Oh, that's just fun stuff. Hey, more fun. Join me at the Ameristar Blackhawk tomorrow night from 6 to 8 and catch all the March hoops action on one of their amazing screens. Come enjoy some of the best food in Blackhawk. Do I crush a buffet, Mark? Do I do it? Do I do it?
Oh, yeah.
Do I do it?
Yeah.
It's calling me. It's calling
what
me.
What is that? Is that tonight?
That's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Good way to wrap up the week. Friday.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I might. Yeah. You can also register to win some incredible prizes. Don't tell Julie it's soda.
No.
Win some incredible prizes, including a staycation in one of their luxurious spa suites and a $250 dining credit that can be used at any of their restaurants, including the Timberline Grill or Fireside Kitchen. Again, see you there tomorrow. Ameristar NASCAR Blackhawk tomorrow from 6 to 8 as we hang out and watch hoops.